Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? This is Terrell Owens and Matthew Hatchett. Get your popcorn ready. You're listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I'm joined, as always, by my much older co-host, Mike Taglier. You can find both of us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at MikeTaglierNFL. Tags, I haven't done this with you before, but we're going to play a quick game of Fantasy Matchmaker, okay? Oh. Aaron Jones' contract is up with the Green Bay Packers at the end of this season. Dream landing spot for him for fantasy football in 2021. Go.
Atlanta Falcons, 100%.
Okay, perfect. You got that right. Well done.
Thanks, son.
I'm excited to bring in our guest for today's show, Andy Behrens from Yahoo. I think today's going to be a fun episode, guys. He can be found on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Andy, how are you doing, man? Are you just as fried and ready for the season as we are?
I am absolutely fried. I am, of course, ready for the season. I'll try to speak up a little bit for the much older tags.
You guys are the worst.
The senses are fading on him.
This has already started out horribly, guys. And I, you know what's the weird part is I was actually looking forward to this episode because I generally like Andy, and Yates is kind of like, well, he's going to start calling me dad, and then we have Dan as grandpa. So I don't know. I mean, this podcast has gone into weird places.
Tags is grumpy already. If he needs a nap in the middle of this thing, that's fine.
I get talked about my age almost every day at work, Tags. So don't even start.
You okay. Definitely do.
I definitely do. Okay. Hey, guys, before we get into the content for today's show, I want to remind everyone about this amazing giveaway we've got going on. We've got a signed Davante Adams helmet, a $200 gift card for Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league's champion and last place loser from Trophy Smack. I love my trophy from Trophy Smack. And a one-month subscription to Fubo TV. We'll be giving this grand prize package away once we hit 7,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. We have 6,804 right now. And in addition, we are going to give a bonus to the winner if they are a subscriber to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. The bonus prize will be a Zoom call with our fantasy analysts. To enter, head to fantasypros.com/contest and fill out the form there. Just leave an honest review on iTunes or Stitcher for the podcast and use the form to submit your screenshot of your review along with your screenshot of your YouTube subscription to qualify for the bonus prize. Again, to enter and get more details on this monster prize package giveaway, just head to fantasypros.com/contest. All right, I want to touch on a couple of news items before we go through our favorite targets in each round today, guys. Joe Mixon has been on the sideline recently with what Zach Taylor called a minor injury, but a report came out earlier today from The Athletic's Paul Denner that Mixon was completely absent and it could be linked to a holdout. Then there was another report later on, right before we started recording, that it could be as simple as he's dealing with migraines. Andy, I'll throw this to you. We obviously need more information before we can analyze this super in-depth for fantasy purposes, right? But if you have a draft this weekend, which I'm sure a lot of people will, are you still comfortable drafting Joe Mixon in the first round?
It's kind of a loaded question because it assumes that I have taken Joe Mixon in the first round at some point thus far, and I have not. And it's not really even dislike for Mixon. It's just a slight variance between my own rankings and consensus. Somebody always seems to like Mixon in that 7 to 10 range. I have almost always been taking one of the, like, if I get stuck in the back half of the first round, which is not necessarily where I want to be, but if I get there, I like the receivers that land there. I've been taking Tyreek there regularly. I'll take Davante Adams around that spot. I'll take Julio. I like the tight ends. It just hasn't been mixing for me. I like the team. I like the general offensive setup there. And, you know, I had him in a couple leagues last season in which, I mean, I don't need to tell people that he was an absolute hero at the end of the year when he was the absolute centerpiece of the offense. I don't see the path to like 14 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns. And that's what we look for in a first round running back. I doubt we see that happen. And he caught like 35 balls last year, which is also like the things that we need from the running back position in an RB1 are receptions and, you know, we need him to pile up touchdowns. And he's kind of third tier in those regards for me.
That's very fair. I mean, Tags, we were talking about before we recorded this, suddenly back end of the RB1 conversation with, you know, maybe even Dalvin Cook into that conversation, but then Miles Sanders, I mean, Kenyon Drake in a walking, like suddenly it's a crapshoot. Like what are your feelings on this now?
Yeah, I'm definitely a little worried when Adam Schefter says that he's has second guessing about Dalvin Cook. And we heard whispers about Mixon this offseason about how, that he could potentially hold out if he didn't get a new deal. You know, with this new CBA, there's a lot of red tape to get through. And I'm not going to speculate on things that could be happening there. But all of a sudden, the end of the first round, it doesn't look like it might be a running back for me. It looks like I could be playing it safe with someone like a Davante Adams if he falls there, maybe even a Julio Jones. These running backs, these injuries are starting to pile up. The question marks are piling up. And they were kind of already there with Mixon with that offensive line, a rookie quarterback. Again, we do like Burrow. We do think the offensive line takes a step forward, but there were question marks around him not being used enough in the passing game. So I basically use these things as a tiebreaker. And now the issue was I was using it as a tiebreaker to choose Mixon over Kenyon Drake, who's in a walking boot. But then it's like,
right
now they're both like, what's happening here? And then it's like, I don't really want to take Nick Chubb in that range. Miles Sanders dealing with an injury. They're all in the same tier there, right? But I might just lean with a wide receiver at that point.
That's fair. I mean, it all depends on how you like your roster when you start out with a wide receiver there in the first round. But again, if you're looking at some of these other guys that have tons of question marks, it's fair to talk about that. My one question is going to be, how far does CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, move up? You know, you have the top four solidified, right? You have Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, and Alvin Kamara kind of as your top four as consensus. And then does Clyde Edwards-Helaire move up to a top five running back being drafted there? That's a little bit too rich for me, I think. But with these other question marks, it certainly can happen.
Derrick Henry and Clyde Edwards-Helaire belong in that tier as far as I'm concerned in that next year.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fair. Derrick Henry. Yep. All right, guys. And then we also talked about it live on yesterday's podcast, Tags, but David Montgomery went down in practice. He walked off on his own power, but then was carted in since they were on their far practice field. So, however, it does look like he escaped major injury. It came out, again, right before we started recording that he's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks with a minor groin injury. So this could put him on pace to start week one, or it looks like maybe week three could be the latest that we see him on the field. Tags, are you still looking at Montgomery as a value in the fifth round or so?
No, I'm not. When you have a running back with a soft tissue injury, especially someone that David Montgomery was kind of, I don't want to say he was on thin ice because they did draft him in the third round. They didn't add any depth. I'm fully expecting the Bears to bring in someone, you know, as a depth piece, if not, you know, someone more than a depth piece that would share the load with David Montgomery, because I don't want to sit here and pretend that he looked great last year. He didn't. I know he was in shape and he looked good in camp, but there's a lot of worries here. And Tariq Cohen is really the only other running back on the roster. I mean, Ryan Nall, he's not a guy that you're going to expect to come in and get 15 touches per game if Montgomery's not ready. So they have to be prepared for that. So this is going to slide David Montgomery down probably into that maybe Jordan Howard type territory, you know, probably around that RB30 range where I'm probably not going to end up with him in a lot of fantasy drafts.
I think he's going to be a nice depth piece if you can get him later on, because I do think that once he's on the field, he will be the main guy. But to rely on him as potentially your RB2, if you start wide receiver heavy, that's not just not a place that I want to be in now at this point. So, all right, guys, let's get into this because today is going to be a lot different than our other normal shows. Today, we're going through, hopefully, 16 rounds of ADP data, and we're each going to present our favorite players by round. For those who struggle with math, that's 48 players that are going to be coming at you through the airwaves. We're not going to spend time dissecting each player or everyone giving their opinions, but we're going to have a minute to present our thoughts on these players, and then we'll move on to the next person. Sound good, guys?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Tags, you're up first, and then Andy, you'll go next. I'll finish up the round, and then we'll move on. And we are doing this in half PPR ADP, just FYI. So, Tags, let's go with round one. Who is your favorite target?
I mean, if I don't say Christian McCaffrey, I'm dumb. So if you have the ability to draft Christian McCaffrey, you should draft him. Basically, if you were to play fantasy football last year and Christian McCaffrey, let's say that he stopped playing football altogether, just said, you know what, I'm going to take the rest of the year off. In week 12, he still would have been the RB1 by a full 22 PPR points. I understand it's a new coaching staff and this and that, but you can't sit here and pretend that the offense is going to be worse than it was last year with Kyle Allen under center for the majority of the year. So Christian McCaffrey, I know that RB1s just don't, you know, finish as RB1 back-to-back years, even though Todd Gurley did. People tend to overlook that. But there's really no good argument you can make against Christian McCaffrey this year. There's really not. He's a generational talent, and he needs to be atop of draft boards.
I completely agree. Andy, who is your guy here in the first round that's your favorite target?
Yeah, this one's really hard to argue with, right? And Tag nails it. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is the consensus number one across the board, regardless of format. He's the number one in Superflex. Like, he's just the number one everywhere. Just to throw another name out there, I will say that I am perfectly comfortable anywhere in the top three picks. One of the things you guys probably know about me and my history at Yahoo is that every year I do these draft slot videos. I'll pop up in your draft room and give you some sort of weird, either joking analysis or draft slot specific advice, right? And one thing that we do find historically in Yahoo leagues over, you know, decades of data is that you want to be in the first half of the first round. And I know that there are people who are loyalists to the turn. They love being at 10 or 12 or whatever. You are somewhat less likely to win a draft from that spot. It doesn't mean that you can't win from any spot, but generally speaking, we nail the someone in the top six picks, and that is the better position to be in. So I happen to really like anything in the top three. If you give me Zeke Elliott at three, I'm perfectly happy there because it often allows me to begin with either a Zeke Julio build or with a Zeke Kittle build, and I'm way into that.
Mm-hmm. I was looking yesterday at Zeke's red zone rushing from last season as far as his overall attempts. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Like, completely blows every other running back out of the water. The guy that I will bring up is Saquon Barkley. I mean, just in this conversation, obviously CMC is going to be the guy that everyone is going to be targeting, right? But if you get the 102, I don't think you should be viewing it as a consolation prize, right? Like, Saquon Barkley is a phenomenal talent at the running back position. And yes, CMC, you know, the stat that Tags dropped of if he stopped playing in week 12, he would have still been the RB1. That's absurd. That's stupid. But yet Saquon Barkley was dealing with injury last year. And I think that if Saquon had played all 16 games and was fully healthy, right, then it would have been a much, much narrower gap. So I think Saquon absolutely belongs in this conversation. I still have CMC ranked at number one. But Saquon's right behind him as far as an RB2 and a guy that I want on my fantasy football rosters this year. I am fine taking Saquon Barkley at the 102.
You know, the other thing about Saquon Barkley is that you just got a glimpse of his like full destructive firepower in the fantasy playoffs, right? Like if you happen to make the fantasy playoffs with Saquon on your roster, you got 400 plus scrimmage yards and what was it, four or five touchdowns in weeks 15 and 16. And that was virtually unbeatable unless you were going up against the team that had who else? Kenyon Drake had a huge fantasy playoff run. But Barkley was one of those guys who decided leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, he had that game like 12 rushing yards or something like that. Like it was just a terrible stat line, right? But yet again, if you can't cut like Saquon can on that ankle, then he's not going to be able to do what he can do, right? But then fully healthy, Saquon is just, he's in that same conversation with CMC for me. All right, let's move on to round two here, Tags. Who are you looking at?
I'm going to abuse the crap out of ADP here because this is updated, by the way. We actually go through and update it every couple of days, so it is up to date. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is currently going as the 19th player on average, as high as the 13th on average on any site. So he's still, it doesn't matter, he's still going into the second round. You know, there's a lot of people listening right now that might be like, oh, he's not going to go there in my league. He's going to last till 7 or 6. I get that, guys, but we have to understand that the majority of public hates rookies. They don't want to draft them, and that's why he's falling in some of these drafts. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a true three-down back that reminds me a lot of Ray Rice. And if you guys remember, Ray Rice was always a consensus top three pick in fantasy drafts, despite playing alongside of Joe Flacco in the Ravens offense. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was my favorite running back in this class. It had nothing to do with landing with Kansas City. That obviously, you know, just boosted my love for him. But going into this offense, after hearing that Damian Williams opted out, he's the clear three down back here. He's a guy that they used a first round pick on, despite the fact that they have some holes on that defense that they could have used some help on. Was it worth it to take him in the first round? I mean, I don't know, but for fantasy purposes, we absolutely love this. And honestly, I really truly believe he's going to be part of that number one conversation next year when we go into fantasy drafts, as a guy that does it all on three downs, pass catcher and all that stuff. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you get him in the second round, you are absolutely stealing.
Andy, where are you at with this? Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire your answer here?
Yeah, I got to say, it almost feels like cheating.
Yes.
And Tags alluded to this, because I feel like in a competitive league and in a league full of hardcore players, Edwards-Helaire is going to go somewhere in the top, certainly in the top seven picks. We've seen him go as high as top five. That's a perfectly reasonable pick, too. So I don't think he falls to the middle of the second round in a hardcore league. And anybody listening to the Fantasy Pros podcast is probably a pretty hardcore player. You're not going to see this happen a lot. Tags is also right, though, that in hometown leagues, you know, it's you and your high school buddies, you and your college buddies, this can happen. Rookies will, so there'll be enough people who are like, nope, not touching a rookie in the first round, and he can fall. Another thing, by the way, as I look at this, that jumps out at me is that there are four Chiefs that go in the first two rounds of fantasy drafts.
It's
which
crazy.
Is just like, yep. Well, I'm not sure I can remember a time when that's happened. I can think of some offenses that have produced three fantasy choices that go typically in the top 24, but it just does not often happen that we see four players from one team go, and they're all justified too. Like, I get it with all of them. So for me, the pick that will actually fall to the second round in a hardcore league that I love is George Kittle. And I suggested it earlier that if I can begin a draft with Zeke Elliott and George Kittle, that's just about perfect for me. Kittle has had no luck at all on like red zone targets, on inside the 10 targets so far. I feel like he had maybe three or four negated touchdowns last year due to penalties. There's going to be a year where George Kittle gives us 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns, and has an all-time season at the tight end spot. And it could very well be 2020.
I did a Twitter Ask Me Anything last night, and I had someone ask me, could we see from the Chiefs offense the QB1, running back one, wide receiver one, and tight end one in fantasy this year? And my immediate response was like, no, there's no way. And then I was like, wait a second. You know, like, I paused. I was like, can that actually happen? The percentage chance of it is very, very minimal. But in this Chiefs offense, oh my word, I think there's an actual conversation for it. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is my answer here too. I'm going to cheat and I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because here's the scary part, guys. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, based on my projections, as the RB7 in my rankings. Guys, I only have him with 9 total touchdowns. What happens if he gets 12 total touchdowns, 14 total touchdowns, which is very, very possible in this offense? Then we're talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the RB1. And so if you can get him in, like Tags and Andy said, in these home leagues where the casual player just isn't paying attention and doesn't really know who Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, if you can get him at 19 overall, absolutely. All day long. Absolutely.
I'll point out that we're only a year removed from Kansas City giving us the QB1, the wide receiver one, and the tight end one. So it's not much of a stretch for them to also have the RB1.
So ridiculous. Before we keep going, I want to talk about Fubo TV. The monthly cost of cable is over $200. That's ridiculous. Fubo TV is $65 a month to watch the same channels, and you don't pay for DVR or an installation. Fubo TV is how you should be watching TV. Get everything you want all in one place for less than the cost of cable. Fubo TV brings you over 100 channels, cloud DVR, and no hidden fees. Stream your shows on your TV or any other smart device. Take your TV with you. They have the major broadcasts and cable networks, so you can find all your favorites, including primetime TV and news. And with Fubo TV, you'll never miss a game. They have the NFL, including the Red Zone, NBA, MLB, NHL, Premier League, La Liga, college sports, and more. There's no risk to try it out. Get full access to Fubo TV for 7 days for free. And right now, Fubo TV is offering our listeners the 7-day free trial and 15% off your first month by going to FuboTV.com/fantasypros. There are no contracts, and you can cancel anytime. Go to FuboTV.com/fantasypros for 15% off your first month and a free trial. That's FuboTV.com/fantasypros. All right, Tags, let's go to you for round three.
All right, so I will say that if I had to give a second pick in the second round, it would be Kenyon Drake. If you wanted me to give you someone that actually falls there quite a bit, it'd be Kenyon Drake. But going to the third round, I'm going to say Odell Beckham Jr. And I know a lot of people are going to take offense to it, but they're going to ridicule me for it, and that's fine. It's just rare to get a player who presents number one overall wide receiver upside in the third round. You just typically don't find that. A lot of wide receivers, they start to blend in when you get into this territory, and that's why a lot of people are waiting. They're going to go with that RB approach to get the wide receivers in the third, fourth, maybe even fifth round. Odell Beckham is a guy that was obviously playing in a Freddie Kitchens offense last year that didn't know what the hell they were doing. If you go back, and it's something that my three-year-old can see. Next-gen stats allows you to go and look at the routes run for players. And you saw continually Baker Mayfield being under stress last year at the beginning of the year. The offensive line couldn't block anyone. And yet you continue to see Odell Beckham go out there and run routes that are 15 yards down the field. A 15-yard comeback. It's like, wow, this is genius. Let's keep it going here, Kitchens. And we also found out that he was playing through like a sports hernia or a groin injury. Obviously, that's going to hamper a wide receiver. We have a big sample with Odell Beckham. You know, he's had at least 1,000 yards in 5 of 6 seasons, and he's only played 16 games twice. I understand that there's some injury concerns, but if there wasn't, I'd be taking him higher than he is. Unfortunately, you're able to get him in the fourth round sometimes, but he's my favorite pick in this round because I think that he's the only one that presents true number one overall wide receiver upside.
Would you be comfortable starting your draft with two running backs and then Odell as your wide receiver one, Tex?
Yep, I've done it.
Okay. All right, Andy, let's go to you here for your guy in round three.
I love this call, actually. Tags and I are we're on the same page with this one. For me, this is Odell, and Tags hit all the key points. He's the one wide receiver in this round that I think has the strongest likelihood of actually finishing as the overall wide receiver one. Like, people were just crushing him last year, obviously, for not living up to expectations. The guy played through, like, unless you don't believe that he had a sports hernia last year, which I guess maybe you don't, that's a brutal thing to play through. And he did it. So, you know, obviously, availability is one of the things that is most prized by actual NFL teams. So credit to him for playing through a pretty significant issue. Yeah, it helped crush his fantasy value. Still finished with over 1,000 yards. They were kind of empty yards, obviously. I like everything about the direction that the Browns offense is going. I would expect the offensive line to be better. I would expect the play calling to better suit Baker Mayfield's skills and limitations. I like that they have actual grown-ups on the coaching staff this year. like the whole situation seems better to me. And like, Odell's not old. He's not an old player. It is entirely plausible that he finishes as a top three, even the number one overall wide receiver.
If you can get Odell Beckham as your wide receiver two on your roster, right, which you can in this situation where you're drafting him in round three, and like Tag said, even round four in some instances, I love that because he does have top five upside. All right, I'm going to talk about Allen Robinson here because this is a guy that I love to target, and I'm fine with Allen Robinson as my wide receiver one. We saw him put up absurd numbers last season, even with the terrible quarterback play that Mitch Trubisky was putting on the field. And now you're looking at Nick Foles seems to be pulling away with the job in this QB competition. And now I'm not sitting here saying that Nick Foles is going to be this like top 15 NFL quarterback or anything like that, but this offense thrives on just staying on schedule, right? And so you get positive yardage, you avoid taking these sacks. Nick Foles is a smart quarterback. He's going to be able to diagnose a defense quickly and just get the ball out. But then additionally, get the ball out in a place where the receiver can actually turn and run with it, right? That we saw all last season, if you go back and watch film, Mitch Trubisky putting the ball behind the receivers where they just simply have to fall and catch. The Bears receivers were like towards the bottom of the NFL in terms of overall yards after the catch. And so in this offense where you can simply just stay on schedule, if Nick Foles can execute the offense, that means more scoring opportunities for Allen Robinson, more trips into the red zone, potentially even more plays on the field. And then you factor in now that David Montgomery might not be ready to start the season. They're going to have to throw the ball more than they were planning on. So that means even more opportunity for Robinson, for Anthony Miller, and then these tight ends. So I think Allen Robinson is a very, very safe option. I think that he is going to absolutely just be, this guy that you can rely on week in and week out, and you're going to be happy that you drafted him in round three. All right, let's move on. Round four here. Tags, who do you got? Round four.
Oh, it depends on who you get in the first three rounds. I have two guys here that I really love, and I know I'm taking the cop out here, but I love Calvin Ridley and I love James Conner. James Conner would be a first round pick if he were playing all 16 games. He'd go at the tail end of the first. I'd take him over someone like Nick Chubb. Obviously, there's some health concerns with him, but knowing Roethlisberger coming off that injury, you know, there could be even more dumped down passes. And James Conner proved to be a competent pass catcher 2 years ago when he was on the field. So really like James Conner. But I mean, we've talked about Ridley this entire offseason, so it feels bad to even say that I should go with someone else here. It just depends on how you like your roster in the later rounds. If you feel like you have a running back, I mean, I think David Montgomery probably would have been that guy for Yates, that he could find the fifth, sixth round. Therefore, you would feel okay passing on Connor for someone like Ridley. But the running back position is drying out so quick. To get James Connor potentially as your RB3 flex player, you know, in the fourth round, it just feels so easy to make that pick. Whereas Calvin Ridley, as much as we love him, it's just going to be really difficult to pass on the value of Connor right there.
To Tex's point on Connor, Mike Tomlin has said this off, like this very offseason, that he's not that interested in committee arrangements, right? That he likes to have a single bell cow back who gets all of the touches. But Tomlin openly talks about it. There's no reason to think that that won't happen for Connor. So I do think he's a good call here.
I agree. All right, Andy, I'll turn it right back to you. Who's your favorite target here in round four?
There is probably not a player in fantasy drafts who I acquire more often than Mark Ingram. You can often get him in round five.
Yes.
In fact. And people are running away from him. Because, and listen, J.K. Dobbins is a really good player. He was a great collegiate back. I have no doubt that he can be the future of the running back position in Baltimore and all that. Mark Ingram was spectacular last year. He was 5 yards a carry, he was 15 touchdowns. He did nothing wrong. He would have taken significantly more touches, but the Ravens kept blowing people out, right? Like they'd roll up 40 points and a half, and then Ingram could sit, and it would be the Gus Edwards show. So Ingram could have had a larger workload. I just never expect a team, when something just works flawlessly, I never expect them to veer away from it the next season. I feel like they did a nice job strengthening a strength in the draft, and I understand the Dobbins pick in that light. I just don't think he's any sort of immediate threat to Mark Ingram as a high volume running back for the most run heavy team in the league.
I was looking at Mark Ingram last season, and I was saying that this guy has top 10 upside. Like, I was willing to reach a little bit to get Mark Ingram on my rosters because I said in this offense with a mobile quarterback. Now, again, I wasn't projecting Lamar Jackson to do what he did on the football field. He would have been my QB1 if that was the instance. But like I was saying, draft Mark Ingram because he has this upside. I will say this year, though, I don't think he has top five upside as long as J.K. Dobbins is on the roster. However, he is going to be a very, very safe option for you to plug in as your RB2. And especially, Tags mentioned it, when you're looking at these other guys, like we're going to talk about in the next round, like or Le'Veon Bell is going right in front of Mark Ingram.
Yeah. I almost vomited when I saw that on your spreadsheet. That's just absolutely disgusting.
Like, give me Mark Ingram all day long. You're talking about Le'Veon Bell in probably the most low scoring offense in the NFL versus Mark Ingram, the lead back in the highest scoring offense in the NFL, potentially, you know, up there in the conversation with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, give me Mark Ingram. All right, guys. Of course, Calvin Ridley is my honorable mention here. Talk about him all the time, so I won't hear. Jonathan Taylor is going to be my guy that I love targeting. I love Jonathan Taylor as my RB2 on my fantasy football rosters. If I can start my draft with a running back in the first round and then potentially a wide receiver if one falls to me. And again, I'm not locked into these strategies, right? I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here. And I can get Jonathan Taylor as my RB2. This guy is going to come out of the gate swinging. You're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars defense in week one. Jonathan Taylor could run for 200 yards. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, he is absolutely just going to come out swinging in this offense. He's going to take over this job sooner than people realize. I'm all in on Jonathan Taylor this year, proving that, I mean, he's one of the most talented pure runners coming out of college that we've seen since Saquon Barkley. Again, that's not a huge gap, you know, in time, but yet this dude is a talented runner, and I want him on my fantasy football rosters this year. He's not going to be super involved in the passing game, so that is not what, if he was, he'd be in RB1 conversation, but as an RB2 for a guy behind the best offensive line in football, I want him on my rosters. Before we move on with the show, I wanted to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's show, Omaha Steaks. My mouth is watering right now just thinking about the filet mignon they sent me recently. It came frozen in a cooler with dry ice, and each piece of meat was sealed very nicely, making it very convenient to stick in the freezer. Most importantly, the flavor and tenderness of the meat fully lived up to the quality Omaha Steaks is known for. Right now, Omaha Steaks is offering a steakhouse grilling package with a limited time offer for just our listeners. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code FANTASYPROS into the search bar, and this week, Omaha Steaks will add 4 burgers and 4 gourmet jumbo franks free with your order. It's called the Grand Summer Grill Out Package, and it lets you stay at home and eat like you're at the best steakhouse in town. Smoky sweet bacon, fork tender, filet mignon, all for much less than going out to a restaurant. Visit omahasteaks.com and type FANTASYPROS in the search bar to get this today. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. And don't forget, when you order the Grand Summer Grill Out Package this week, you'll also get 4 Jumbo Franks and 4 Omaha Steaks burgers free to complete your steakhouse experience. Visit omahasteaks.com and type FANTASYPROS in the search bar to shop Summer Grill Packs today.
All right, moving on to round 5. I'm going to go with Robert Woods, and it feels really weird to be able to get him in the 5th round. And honestly, Andy, looking at Yahoo's ADP right now, he's 65 overall. You can get him in the 6th round, which is just bananas. But Robert Woods is one of the safest wide receiver 2s in fantasy. So if you get him in the 5th round, and let's say that you take 3 running backs, like you in that scenario where you take James Conner, you get Edwards-Hilaire, you get CMC, whatever you get, that combination, you have Beckham, and then you want to pair him with, let's say Beckham, you're a little worried about the volatility. You want to pair him with someone like Robert Woods. Robert Woods, by the way, was more consistent than Mike Evans and Kenny Galladay as a wide receiver 2 last year in fantasy lineups, and he only scored 2 touchdowns. So if you start adding touchdowns to that, all of a sudden he has a little bit more upside. Don't forget that Brandon Cooks is gone, Todd Gurley's gone. I know Cam Akers was brought in, they drafted Van Jefferson, but I mean, Robert Woods is one of the focal points of this offense, and that's never changed. While Sean McVay has evolved his offense and done all these things, Robert Woods has always been highlighted in the offense, and you have little to worry about there. So getting him in the 5th or 6th round, it just feels like madness, because it's either he's your wide receiver 2 that you got in the 5th round, or he's your wide receiver 3. And if you have him as your 3, I mean, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm obviously there with you. He would be my mention here too. Andy, let's go to you.
I'm willing to take DJ Chark. Like, I'd be willing to take him as a 2nd round wide receiver. I think he's that good. I've got him ranked inside the top 10 at receiver. That's where he was until he had that little nagging ankle injury very late last year. I want to say it was like the wide receiver 8, wide receiver 9 before that, as we came into December, had a couple of slow weeks when he was hurt. And it cost him a little bit in terms of overall finish. That guy's, even by the standards of the NFL, is just an extraordinary athlete. 4.3 speed at his height, at 6.4, just an absolutely dominant player. And it's a team, you know, you were speaking about Jacksonville's defense earlier. Like, they're going to be chasing points all year. That is going to be kind of a sneaky fun passing game, kind of into Minshew as a very late quarterback. And I am especially into DJ Chark, who could very well see 160 targets this year. And he's just a dominant physical specimen, like on the order of Julio Jones. Again, I find it almost difficult to be patient with him and wait for ADP, because I value him sort of the back end of the 2nd round. And here he is waiting for you in round 5.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, and obviously him, with his connection with Minshew, they have a connection, right? Whenever we saw Minshew and Chark on the field, they were putting up fantasy numbers. So I don't hate that call at all. He's someone that I actually have not been looking at a ton, because in this range, I'm looking at Robert Woods, right? Like, Woods is my guy. I have him ranked inside my top 10. He's my DJ Chark, right, Andy? Like, you have DJ Chark, I have Robert Woods. The other guy that I'll mention that could potentially finish in the top 10 that I love targeting, if I'm not going to mention Robert Woods here, DK Metcalf. Metcalf last season was heavily targeted in the red zone, had a very poor catch percentage, but you're talking about involvement in the key parts of the field that can translate to fantasy production. 9 touchdowns last year, guys. That's crazy. And when you are tying him to a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who can easily just put the ball right where it needs to be for DK Metcalf deep downfield, again, you're talking about athletic freak shows, right? With DK Metcalf, this is a guy that I think we need to be talking more about, DK Metcalf breaking out into the top 10 at the position more this season. So if I can't mention Robert Woods here, I'm going to mention DK Metcalf, because I think his
receivers in this round are just insane. So good. We haven't even talked about Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin could get 200 targets. He'd get 180 targets, right? Like, he could legitimately lead the NFL in targets this season, because why would you throw to anybody else in Washington?
Right. All right, let's move on to round six. This is where it gets a little bit interesting. So, Tags, let's go to you here for your pick in round six.
I mean, David Montgomery would have been a pick in this round. Like, is someone that I would consider for sure if you wanted to wait on running back a little bit and get him as like a low-end RB2 and stack up on wide receivers or a tight end or whatever you wanted to do. But I'm going to go back to the guy that I will never quit, and that is A.J. Green. A.J. Green, a lot of times I'm able to give him in the seventh or eighth round, but ADP, consensus ADP, has him here in the sixth. And again, we just went through this with Woods, where it's like you get him as your wide receiver two, you get AJ Green as your wide receiver three. That's kind of ridiculous to have, because AJ Green, I understand the injury concerns. I understand, you know, he's 32 years old. Well, he came into the league at the same time as Julio Jones did. These guys are both, they've been playing the same amount of time. I understand that the injuries are more recent with Green, whereas Julio had some injuries at the beginning of his career. But both these guys have been monsters when they're on the field. You know, one has done it with Matt Ryan, the other one has done it with Andy Dalton. Why guys like T.Y. Hilton and Adam Thielen are being drafted over A.J. Green, you kind of got me. I understand that Thielen is in a he's in line to maybe get 150 targets, so I can understand that one. But when they're both on the field, A.J. Green has been the best talent of those aging wide receivers. And to get him out here, if you take him in the sixth round or seventh round or wherever you get him, he's not going to lose you your fantasy league if he's not on the field. That's the bottom line. That's what I want to make clear about this, is that if you're drafting AJ Green, like I project him that he can finish as a top 15 wide receiver, sure. If you're taking him in the third or fourth round, obviously there's a lot of risk there. And if you miss, you're in trouble. Let's not pretend many guys in the sixth round offer stability in your fantasy lineup. You know what I mean? There's question marks around everyone in this range. And AJ Green is the one who, when on the field, we know is a superstar.
Fair points. All right, Andy, let's go to you for round six.
I mentioned Mark Ingram as the player that I probably have the most exposure to. The number two is probably DeAndre Swift. I just absolutely love him. Tags mentioned Edwards-Helaire is the number one running back on his board coming into the draft. Swift was the number one running back on mine. I may have even said this in conversation with you guys before. Like, there's not a single game that I saw from any prospect that was any better than Swift against Alabama in the SEC title game a couple years ago. He's just a marvelous receiver. He's a really inventive runner. I love him. And I don't view Kerryon Johnson as that much of a threat. I know other people do. They could split snaps to some extent, but I can't imagine giving Kerryon very many touches that could otherwise go to DeAndre Swift. Again, he's a more versatile player. I think he's a much better back. And Kerryon, listen, was super inefficient last season, and he's had knee injuries in each of the last 2 years. And I just think that the fact that they drafted Swift at all as early as they did is your signal that they're looking to move on. And I feel like his price is depressed a little bit by the fact that so many Lions running backs have disappointed us over the years. It's been Javid Best and Amir Abdullah and the Kevins, Smith and Jones, and like everybody they draft seems to disappoint us. But you can't hang all that on DeAndre Swift. I just think he's a wonderful player.
I think if we didn't have the question marks of Kerryon Johnson and DeAndre Swift splitting the workload, that we would be seeing Swift's ADP up in the top 20. Because I think from a talent perspective, I'm right there with you. He was my number one running back from a film perspective. He dropped a little bit based on landing spot grade. Jonathan Taylor jumped above him, but because those guys were super close. But I love Swift and his talent coming out. So I completely agree there. For me in this range, I want Kareem Hunt. In looking at Kareem Hunt, Tags mentioned in round six, like I think Hunt is going to have some standalone value, but even if he isn't as involved in the passing game as we anticipate, he's not going to hurt my roster. He's not going to absolutely sink my season. However, if something does happen to Nick Chubb, we have a top five running back on our hands, and that I got in the sixth round. And so I think, again, I'm mentioning that Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to have standalone value, especially in full PPR formats. But then if you can get him as your RB3, and he has this potential upside, oh man, I want that. I want that in round six. And especially looking at some of the other guys like Cam Akers. DeAndre Swift is tempting, but Kareem Hunt's at the back end of the sixth round. So if it's between Cam Akers and Kareem Hunt for me, I'm taking Kareem Hunt 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I'm with you on Hunt. Standalone value, obviously, league winning upside there. That's where I think ideally in round seven, because I think in six, well, six is probably fine. I think it's rough to do that. You don't want him as your RB2, but as a flex option. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go round seven here. We got some interesting names here, Tags, including a couple of tight ends. So who are you thinking here in round seven?
I'm going to go with another Bengals wide receiver because I think that both of them are going to be weekly startable. I'm going to say Tyler Boyd. Been a top 24 wide receiver in each of the last two seasons and now gets an upgrade at the quarterback position. Boyd and Green are every week starters. Boyd actually played better in 2018 when A.J. Green was on the field because Tyler Boyd just doesn't see a whole lot of coverage. Not a whole lot of attention. And then obviously you have John Ross out there stretching the defense. Tyler Boyd is going to be left one-on-one, sometimes with linebackers or safeties. And that's just not a fair matchup. And that's why I like the Bengals offense so much, is because this could be a very... so much like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from last year, where it's like you've seen Jameis Winston chuck up, over 600 passes. I think we could see the same thing out of Joe Burrow this year. And he just happens to have a wide receiver core that's super talented. So Tyler Boyd in the seventh round is a wide receiver three, wide receiver four. It's just fantastic.
Hey, did Joe Burrow target Justin Jefferson?
I heard that he may have.
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, no, I love Boyd. And this offense is going to be, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see, and especially when you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow, and to get these guys at these discounts, right? Like, we have to call it a discount for Tyler Boyd because he should be going well above this. I have him ranked well above this. So, yeah, I'm with you there, Tags. All right, Andy, let's go to you.
I want to give an honorable mention in this round because I love taking a big swing on Will Fuller in round seven. I absolutely love it. He's the one guy on that team that that Deshaun has existing rapport with. And in a year when continuity is going to matter more than ever, I think Fuller, even if you only get 12 games, three or four of those games are going to just be weak winners. They're going to be spectacular. But again, he's only my honorable mention here because at the top of this round on the old spreadsheet here, I see Michael Gallup. And that's just an auto pick for me. I want Michael Gallup all day. I kind of don't understand the gap between his ADP and Cooper's. Like, I think Cooper's a good player. I think Gallup has a chance to be really special. And I get a cheaper share of an offense that I think could be the best in the NFC. That seems totally in play, right? Dak coming off a 4,900 yard season. Gallup averaged about 10 yards per target last year. He's been a big play receiver for him. 14 games, he gives you 1,100 yards. I mean, he's going to see 120 targets this season. Again, an explosive big play threat. So that's the kind of player that I'm sort of describing that I want to take in this range, that Fuller type, that Gallup type, where when they really pop, you win the week.
I mean, for context there, Amari Cooper going off the board is a wide receiver 11. Michael Gallup is a wide receiver 29. I'm in complete agreement, Andy. I don't think there should be that far of a gap between these two. I think that the presence of CeeDee Lamb kind of depresses all three of their value, where I don't think that necessarily all any of them can finish within the top 12, in my opinion, unless something were to happen with an injury, right? If Cooper missed time, if Gallup missed time, then you'd see Lamb jump up. You'd see, Gallup jump up, whatever. But they're going to outproduce where they're being drafted. And again, tie yourself to wide receivers in good offenses. And Dallas is a very good offense this year. So the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast is proud to be presented by FanDuel Fantasy. Sports are finally back. Basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, baseball, golf, and more. And football is right around the corner. I am so excited for fantasy football to be back. I love that FanDuel offers beginners-only contests, which gives new players a fair shot at learning the platform in a friendly environment where most tournaments don't have an entry fee. Both the app and site also have extremely clean interfaces. The app even simplifies things by giving you a choice of sports immediately after you log in. At that point, you can effortlessly browse or search for sport-specific contests. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great! FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free this NFL season, no deposit required. Just sign up and FanDuel will give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. Plus, for those folks who want a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. FanDuel. More ways to win. The guy that I want to talk about here is Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry has done nothing but outproduce where he's been drafted his entire career. And he's currently going off the board as the wide receiver 31. And looking at his opportunity, we talked about for so many years, we talked about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs in the Minnesota Vikings offense as these guys who you could rely on week in and week out. People were ranking them consistently, both in the top 20, even though it was a low passing volume offense. You look at this wide receiver core now in Cleveland, Tags mentioned Odell Beckham, and then it's Jarvis Landry. Then behind him, you got Rashard Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like, those are the wide receivers behind him. In an offense that's going to be running heavy 12 personnel, which is one running back, two tight ends on the field, you're going to have Landry and Beckham on the field all the time. And these guys are going to have the same level of impact that Thielen and Diggs had for so many years. So, and then not to even mention the fact that if Beckham struggles with injury again this year and misses time, Landry's going to see so many freaking targets. Like, I want shares of this offense, and I want Landry at this price tag where I can get him as my wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4. I think that's a tremendous value.
You'd take him over Boyd?
Not necessarily. I would. Boyd would be my guy. I will say that. I should have clarified that at the beginning. Boyd would be my guy that I would target. Landry would be right behind him, though, in this range.
Yeah, I worry about Landry coming off the hip surgery. He just got
that's
cleared.
Fair.
He's
I think,
got cleared recently.
Yeah, he got cleared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he hadn't been cleared, obviously at this point, then that would be level 4 concern, excuse me, that I would not mention him in this range. But yet with him being cleared and him being back on the field, I'm fine with targeting him here in the 7th round. All right, let's go round 8 and let's pick up the pace here, guys, a little bit. Tags, who do we got?
Ronald Jones. I mean, a starting running back for a top 10 scoring offense in the 8th round. Yeah, sign me up every single time. There's risk involved, sure, but I mean, he'd be going as a 3rd or a 4th round pick if there were no risk attached to him. So let's not pretend that, again, there's any running backs in the 8th round who offer stability. So taking a starting running back here, it just feels like I've been waiting for his ADP to go up. And I mean, RB31 still, it doesn't make any sense to me.
All right. Yeah, that's my guy too. Spoiler alert. It's going to be Ronald Jones. So Andy, where are you at?
Yeah, it's a good call. He is, if not the very last potential full workload running back available on the draft board, he's really close to it, right? It is a long fall for Ronald Jones, and I think it just reflects how miserable he was a couple years ago. But how long are we going to hold that against him? The other name I'll shout out here is another Jones, and that's Marvin Jones, who is really separated from Kenny Golladay. They were about, on a per-game basis, there was about a point of difference between them last year. Like, Marvin Jones had a good year, 9 touchdowns in a season where Matthew Stafford was off the field for half of it. Stafford, of course, was on pace for another 5,000-yard season, like 38 touchdowns, something like that, before the injury. So if we get a full year of Matthew Stafford, there's almost no way that that Marvin Jones is a bust at this ADP.
You're talking about Jones coming with his own injury concerns at this point of his career, of course, but yet, again, 8th round, the investment there, if he misses time, it's not going to significantly hurt your roster. However, when he's on the field, you can plug him in as a wide receiver too. I think you can easily rotate him in. So I love that call. All right, let's move on to round 9 here, guys. We are cooking. Tags, who do you got?
Deontay Johnson, wide receiver of the Pittsburgh Steelers. His rookie season, he saw a very, very sturdy 18% target share. Roethlisberger has supported multiple top 32 fantasy wide receivers in 11 of his 15 career seasons. You know, Deontay Johnson is someone that, I mean, he led the NFL in yards of separation at target among perimeter wide receivers last year, and that's despite bad quarterback play. Basically, they would wait till he was open, and he got open an awful lot. So Matt Harmon came on the show just recently, talked about how after going through reception perception, how high he was on Johnson. He's someone that actually flew up his draft board. I like Johnson. So to hear him say that just made me feel even better about him in the 9th round as someone that your wide receiver 4 on your team. That's kind of crazy.
I feel like Deontay Johnson is the right answer here. So I'll just piggyback on what Tags is saying there. I think he's clearly the right answer. Like, he was good last year, and now we get to see him with what we hope is a fully healthy Ben Roethlisberger. This is going to be a great year. Like, I know he's been dealing with a nagging injury issue, but it sure seems like he's going to be good to go for the opener. He's a huge talent, and this is going to be a pretty fun offense. The other name I'll throw out as sort of an honorable mention here would be Jerry Jeudy, who goes very late round 9. It is pretty rare that you hear the kind of praise that he is getting from other players when Kareem Jackson says he's never seen someone get in and out of his breaks like Jerry Jeudy does. Like, he's super refined. He's a technician. He's ready to go. He's going to hit the ground running. And that could be a sneaky fun offense as well.
It could be. It could be very fun to see what Denver does on the football field this year. And if Drew Lock can rise to the occasion, that Denver offense is going to be difficult to deal with. Deontay Johnson would have been my guy too. Wide receiver 41 off the board. I have him at wide receiver 27 in half PPR formats, guys. So I absolutely think he's going to crush his ADP right now. The other guy that I think is going to absolutely crush his ADP, Tariq Cohen. RB40 off the board. I do not understand why he is all the way down here. Talking about RB12 finish in 2018. When the offense was actually pretty good. Then last year fell off a cliff. He hurt a lot of people. So I understand it. I understand people just not wanting to draft Tariq Cohen. However, we saw very, very little explosive plays from Tariq Cohen last year, and that's just not who he is as a player. And if he can get back to, again, this offense on schedule, you're looking at a less mobile quarterback with Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. He's going to be looking to check the ball down if the pressure comes in rather than looking to try to escape. So Tariq Cohen could absolutely see over 100 targets, and then not even factoring in now with David Montgomery potentially missing the first 2 weeks of the season. If you're in any PPR format this season and Tariq Cohen is sitting there in the back end of the ninth round, literally the last pick of the ninth round in ADP consensus right now, I'm hitting that draft button every single time.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to say real quick, the Broncos, if Drew Lock does not work out, like if he can't make it work with the players they've surrounded him with, he never will.
Yep.
Like this, like that team is super stacked on offense right now.
Completely agree. I mean, yeah, KJ Hamler too. I granted,
I'll tell you another thing I like is that they're all on the same sort of age timeline with Drew Lock,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like they're just all in sync, yep, in terms of how you would expect the players to develop. I was just going through the Drew Lock game against Houston last year, the 300 plus yard, 3 touchdown game. Like that was, he was able to do more last year than I feel like anybody expected him to. So that was pretty encouraging.
Yep.
I agree. All right, let's move on to round 10 here. There are some interesting names, tags. I think I know who you're going to go with here, but let's hear it.
I mean, this is the easiest pick to make in your draft right now. It's Hayden Hurst. I mean, Hayden Hurst moving into a role that Austin Hooper was on 119 target pace last year. It's just ridiculous, the volume. That's what you're going to chase at tight end. Hurst was a former first-round pick, and that a lot of people, the reason he's falling down draft boards is because people are like, oh, he sucks. He was behind Mark Andrews. Say that to yourself in the mirror a couple times. That guy is a top three tight end in the NFL, so I don't really hold anything against Hurst. Will he ever be a top three tight end in the NFL? Probably not. But at the same time, this team never replaced Mohamed Sanu. And unless you think that Russell Gage is going to be a thing, Hayden Hurst is going to be a top 10 fantasy tight end with top five upside.
I agree. This round had the clearest correct answer. Like, it's kind of a minefield of a round when you look through it. I'll also add that, like, one of the things that you say that you'll see in Yahoo ADP is that some of the defenses and kickers start to go here. That's a reflection of auto draft logic at Yahoo.
It's directly like on Andy. So direct all your complaints to Andy.
it's not like our users are just, you know, knuckleheads and they're drafting kickers here. It's the auto draft logic fills out your starting lineup before it does anything else. So I'm just apologizing for Yahoo ADP here. You see some,
well, to
some
be fair, to be fair, Andy, Hayden Hurst is showing as a ninth rounder in Yahoo. We're using consensus ADP, so it's a mix of sites, but Yahoo has Hayden Hurst in the ninth, so they might be smarter than the average one.
Yeah, well, I think that is entirely boosted by my rank on Hayden Hurst. This guy's going to be a top five, top six tight end as long as he stays healthy, just based on the workload that Hooper was getting last season.
Yeah, I mean, looking round seven, I mentioned that there were some interesting tight ends in round seven. Jared Cook and Evan Engram going off the board in round seven. Yeah, no, thank you. I am going to absolutely wait to get Hayden Hurst in round 10. And then if I somehow miss out on Hayden Hurst, you guys know where I'm going later on. Latavius Murray will be my guy that I will mention if I cannot mention Hayden Hurst. Looking at Murray, RB 43 off the board, I think Murray has some standalone value this year with Alvin Kamara back and healthy. They're going to get back to running the ball more than they did last season. When Kamara wasn't healthy, they weren't as efficient as an offense, so their passing numbers inflated last year, especially too when you figure in that Drew Brees missed some time as well. So Latavius Murray has this built-in upside that Kareem Hunt does, right? If Alvin Kamara goes down with injury, just like with Nick Chubb, Latavius Murray can be a top five fantasy football running back in this offense. So to get him here in round 10, where you don't have to start Latavius Murray, I think you can, but you don't have to. You can sit on your bench and be this guy that you can rotate in on bye weeks, or again, hold if something happens to Alvin Kamara because you have immense upside. I would absolutely rather take Latavius Murray than a Daryl Henderson, who's going two spots ahead of him. You know, I don't want to do that. I want Latavius Murray and I want the upside there. So let's move on to round 11. Tags, who are you going with here?
Round 11, I'm going to, Latavius Murray was on that, like, the cusp. And when I initially did my research for this, he was actually in that 11th round. But I'm going to instead go with Henry Ruggs, a guy that depending on the balance of your roster, you're able to choose, you know, wide receiver, running back in this range, but we're in now bench territory and you're looking for someone that you could potentially plug in, you know, with the way that the state of the NFL is right now, where if someone walks into the stadium, they have 102 temperature, they can't play, whatever the case may be, and they're automatically scratched. You can plug and play someone like this that gives you tremendous upside. Henry Ruggs is the guy that I actually think that he is going to lead these wide receivers in targets. I know there's been talks about other wide receivers getting mixed in, but if they're going to use him in the slot quite a bit, they clearly have a role for him. And when they drafted him over Jerry Jeudy, it was the dumbest thing, and I will continue to say that. It was the dumbest thing they could have done as a franchise, but at the same time, they clearly had a role for Ruggs in place, and they want to get the ball in his hands. They have to let him create. And I think he's going to offer a better floor than some people think. And then obviously, he's got that massive big play upside. So to plug and play him, you know, have as a wide receiver four, wide receiver five on your fantasy team, I feel like Henry Ruggs is just a tremendous pick in the double digit rounds.
I completely agree. Andy, where are you at?
I love this round. I want to do an entire breakout podcast on this
Zach
round.
Zach Moss, maybe? Zach Moss?
This round is just, I want to build a team from this round. I love it. I'm looking at the names in round 11. Tags knows that I have a long time love affair with Jamison Crowder. I will never stop predicting 100 catch season for Jamison Crowder. I love Ruggs. That was a good call. Justin Jefferson goes right after him and he steps into a situation where there's triple digit targets waiting for him. I have Zach Moss all over the place. He's an ideal complement to Devin Singletary. He's a bigger back. If anybody's going to slide into that Frank Gore role from last season, Frank Gore had 18 carries inside the 10-yard line last year, and Devin Singletary had 3. Moss was a hyper-efficient receiver in college. Like, I love that pick. But the guy that I want to highlight here is someone that I just drafted last night, and that's Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow has a chance to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback immediately. If we had had a normal offseason with normal OTAs and just normal interaction between coaches and players, he'd be an easy call to break Andrew Luck's rookie passing record, I think. I think he still has a shot at maybe 4,200 passing yards. It's just so rare that we see an immensely talented quarterback fall into a situation where he gets this kind of receiving core. And that's mostly because AJ Green was absent last year. But I mean, for a guy with this kind of talent to get Boyd and Green at his disposal and that running game and a better offensive line, like it's just a beautiful situation. I think he can outscore Josh Allen. I think he can outscore, you know, your Drew Breeses and Matt Ryans and Tom Brady's and all that. Like, I think he can easily finish inside the top 8, the top 10 at the position. He's got rushing upside, too. The man ran for 12 touchdowns over the last 2 years.
I forgot about that. Jeez. Yeah, no, he was QB 16 off the board. That's a value for Joe Burrow. The guy I will mention, Andy mentioned him, Jamison Crowder. He was going to be the guy that I talked about because you're looking at this New York Jets offense. Again, I mentioned it with Le'Veon Bell. Not going to be a high scoring offense. However, for fantasy football, that doesn't really matter if you're getting targets, especially if you're in a full PPR league and wide receiver 46 off the board for Jamison Crowder. I get that people just don't want to invest in this Jets offense, I guess, but you're talking about Rashad Perryman dealing with his own injuries, Denzel Mims dealing with his injuries. Like, he's not on the field. They're rolling out and trying to hype up Chris Hogan, who they signed 2 weeks ago. Like, no, Jamison Crowder could be in line for 150 targets in this offense, and I'm not even exaggerating. So, if he's a safe option, I don't think he has tremendous, tremendous upside. But to double back to like just a team building and roster construction strategy, if you take AJ Green in round, what round was that? 6, whatever, as your wide receiver 3, double back in round 11, grab Jamison Crowder. Because that is a safe option to then kind of just counterbalance your roster, where AJ Green does come with the injury concerns. He comes with tremendous upside. If he misses time, guess what? You've got Jamison Crowder sitting right there that you can plug into your wide receiver 3 spot. I love that strategy. All right, let's move on to round 12 here. Tags, can I just call out your guy?
You sure, go ahead.
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you guys have listened, you know, to find a guy in the 12th round that could lead his team of wide receivers in targets, receptions, and touchdowns without an injury. It's madness. I mean, it's madness. Jalen Reagor is the best wide receiver on that team right now. I mean, DeSean Jackson's a good football player. He really is. But Reagor is a guy that has explosive. He could be this year's Terry McLaurin, 100%.
All right, Andy, what about you?
Yeah, that's the right call here. It pains me to agree with Tags as much as I have so far on this pod, but I feel like Rager is just the obvious right call because, again, as you say, he could be He could be a really good team's number one receiver, and you're landing him this late in round 12. I should probably also say that if I'm interested in Zeke Elliott in the first round, then I'm probably pretty interested in Tony Pollard here in round 12, who is going to have a little bit of maybe standalone value through the bye weeks. He was a 100 touch guy last year, 5 yards per carry. So Pollard's good. But the right answer here, I feel like, is Jalen Reagor.
Mm-hmm. I will agree on that one. It's Jalen Reagor. And then I'm glad that you mentioned him, Andy. Tony Pollard was going to be the other guy that I brought up. Again, upside at the position if Zeke goes down, and could potentially have standalone value. All right, let's move on to round 13, guys. Round 13 actually might be my favorite round in the entire draft. I don't know. Like, you talked about, Andy, an earlier round that you love. I'm looking at round 13. I'm like, I want all these guys. So, Tags, who are you looking at here in round 13?
Anthony Miller. In the 7 games without Taylor Gabriel last year, Miller posted 29 receptions, 370 yards, 2 touchdowns. Over 16 games, that would have amounted to 66 receptions, 846 yards, and 5 touchdowns. By comparison, Emmanuel Sanders, in 17 games last year, racked up 66 catches, 869 yards, and 5 touchdowns, finishing as the wide receiver 30. And again, that's legitimately what he did last year with Gabriel out of the lineup. There's natural progression in his game. He's going to be healthy this year. He's been playing through a torn labrum the last 2 years. Obviously, if Foles wins that job, it could be more competent quarterback play. So I think that he has twice the chance to get competent quarterback play this year. And Allen Robinson might lose a few targets to someone like Anthony Miller because he happens to be really, really good at football.
Andy, how about you?
Yeah, that's Miller's a really good call here. I'm a little bit embarrassed that he falls this far because it has a lot to do with what Yahoo drafters are doing.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yahoo drafters are almost taking this guy outside the top 200 picks, which is not, you know, that's not the fault of my ranks. I know it's not the fault of Harmon's ranks. We both like him a whole lot. I think he has a chance at a huge season, and obviously Nick Foles can support 2 starting quality fantasy receivers. I think he's that good a quarterback. I'll just also mention that Jared Goff goes in this round, and that's kind of crazy. He was almost seemed like a game changer a couple years ago. He has back-to-back 4,600 yard seasons. If we love Robert Woods early and we like Cooper Kupp early, Jared Goff, there's no reason to think that he can't have his third straight 4,600 yard season, perhaps with some positive improvements in terms of total passing touchdowns.
Guys, for me, it's Jonnu Smith. End of analysis. Let's move on to round 14.
That's about right.
Tags, I'm not joking. Let's move on to round 14. Tags, who do we got?
All right. So I chose, there's 2 people here, and I'm going to let you guys take the other one because I know who it's going to be. I'm going to say DeSean Jackson. Over the last 3 years, DeSean Jackson has been a wide receiver 3 or better in 50% of his games. He's not sexy. I get it. But with the state of the league, potential absences, he's a great plug-and-play stash as a veteran. If Jalen Reagor if he's battling for time to get on the field, DeSean Jackson would clearly be the number one option in this passing attack at wide receiver. So knowing that we've only seen him with Carson Wentz for one game, where he caught 8 of 9 targets for like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, and they're playing Washington again in week 1. You guys should know that. DeSean Jackson in round 14, you might be able to get a week 1 performance out of him if you have a wide receiver who's slated to miss week 1 or something like that. DeSean Jackson can step in and be a wide receiver 3.
I completely agree. He was going to be the guy that I talked about. Andy, who do you got?
Yeah, I think DeJax is a great call here. Can't help but notice that Cam Newton on average is going in round 14. I mean, I shouldn't keep picking quarterbacks at this point, but this is obviously a reflection of the fact that I tend to take quarterbacks late. If you can find Cam here, you know, I talked about Joe Burrow as somebody who has a path to a top 10 finish. Well, Cam has multiple top 5, top 3 finishes on his resume. He doesn't have to be exactly that guy that he was in Carolina. I think he's the best goal line rushing option for the Patriots right now. In a super murky backfield, I think Cam can easily deliver top five overall positional finish. Letting him fall to round 14 is a little bit crazy.
Yeah, he was going to be the guy that I talked about. I mean, if you're looking at, let's just play this game, Andy, super quick. So if he's going earlier in smart leagues, he's going earlier. What is the earliest that you would be willing to take Cam Newton as your QB1?
Well, again, if I'm not taking Mahomes and Jackson, like let's say they don't fall to round 3 or round 4 where I'm probably looking at them, then I'm gonna wait a really long time. And I don't fixate on one guy. That's the thing. You can't just be like locked in on Cam Newton, and because then like the whole point of this position, especially in one quarterback leagues, is to not wait on it. So am I going to reach for Cam in round 9? No, probably not. But you routinely see him fall to round 12, round 13, round 14. So that's generally where I'm shopping for my quarterbacks.
Yeah, those are the two guys that jumped out to me, DeSean Jackson and Cam Newton. So I like the calls there, guys. All right, let's go. Let's just go one more round here. Let's wrap up this conversation. Round 15. We've got a few interesting names on the board. Tags, is it AJ Dillon?
Absolutely not. Alan Lazard will be my pick here. It's like one of my favorite late round picks because he's a guy that you're going to find out what you got immediately. He closed out the 2019 season by seeing 8 and 9 targets in those two games. It took him a while to get into that starting lineup, but now that he's there, that Funchess opted out, that Valdes-Scantling can't learn where to be at on the field where he needs to be. Aaron Rodgers likes to have trust in his receivers, and I think he has it in Lazard. And year two of those guys actually practicing together, I do believe that there's room for growth. And obviously, if Devontae Adams were to miss any time, Alan Lazard is walking into, again, it's probably going to be that, you know, 6 to 10 targets per game range, which is fantastic from someone like Rodgers. So with your last pick, Alan Lazard.
You know, one thing I really like about Lazard is you rarely see a quote from him that isn't just dripping with the fact that he's got a real edge to him, right? Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't like that he's such a disrespected commodity that nobody has any belief in him. Like he feels that. You hear it all the time out of
should
him.
Should we do an FU kind of tour for Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard this year? Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like that call. The player that I'm going to go with here is Blake Jarwin, who I have landed in a ton of spots. He's another guy who averaged about 9 yards per target last year. Again, I think that Dallas offense is going to be really explosive. You look at the number of vacated targets with the absence of Randall Cobb, of Jason Witten. That's over 160 total targets that are up for grabs. And clearly a huge chunk of that goes to CeeDee Lamb. Another big chunk of it is going to go to Blake Jarwin, who already saw something like 40 targets last year. It's not going to be that surprising if he finishes with 100 targets, which is pretty rare among tight ends. In a typical season, you'll only see 4 or 5 tight ends at all who see triple digit targets. And I think he's in that club this year.
Andy, you got to stop stealing my guys, dude. Blake Jarwin, I have it. He's tight end 22 off the board right now. I have him as a top 12 tight end. I have him at tight end 12 right now. So this is a guy that I'm all in on. And I think he has tremendous potential. And again, we talked about it with Michael Gallup. Like, what happens if one of these wide receiver options goes down? Because the next guy in line in Dallas is Cedric Wilson. Like, Cedric Wilson is not going to step in and assume the workload from a target perspective that a CeeDee Lamb would have or whatever. That's going to be dispersed around the offense. And Blake Jarwin stands to benefit, too. So he has immense upside this season, too, along with a safe floor, in my opinion. All right, guys, that is all we've got for today. Huge thank you to Andy Behrens for coming on and dropping some fantasy football knowledge, man. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to chat with us.
Oh, hey, thanks for inviting me. This podcast notion, this idea, this sort of like favorite pick by round is a great idea. I was happy to be part of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Don't forget that you can follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Mike and I are on Twitter as well at Kyle Y NFL and at Mike Taglier NFL. And we're also on Instagram too, at Kyle Y NFL and at Mike Taglier. Tags, any closing remarks before we get out of here?
I just got to go yell at some kids to get off my lawn.
Oh, there you go. Don't forget about your nap. Don't forget
then
about your nap.
Settle back in the recliner for a nap.
There we go.
Before we end today's podcast, I want to make sure that we say thank you to FuboTV for sponsoring today's podcast. Right now, FuboTV is offering our listeners a free 7-day trial and 15% off your first month by going to FuboTV.com/FantasyPros. There are no contracts and you can cancel anytime. Just go to FuboTV.com/FantasyPros for more information. Additionally, I want to say thank you again to FanDuel for sponsoring today's podcast. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free this NFL season. No deposit required. Just sign up and FanDuel will give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. Plus, for those folks who want a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. And finally, I want to say thank you to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring today's podcast. Right now, Omaha Steaks is offering a steakhouse grilling package with a limited time offer just for our listeners. Go to OmahaSteaks.com and enter the code FantasyPros into the search bar. And this week, Omaha Steaks will add 4 burgers and 4 gourmet jumbo franks free with your order. Again, that's OmahaSteaks.com and the code FantasyPros into the search bar. And don't forget about our amazing giveaway that we've got going on. A signed Devontae Adams helmet, a $200 gift card for Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league's champion and last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a 1-month subscription to FuboTV. We'll be giving this grand prize package away once we hit 7,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. For more information, head to fantasypros.com/contest. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. For Mike Tagliere and Andy Behrens, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.